All right, so ready to dive into the world of The Great Gatsby? We're talking F. Scott Fitzgerald, the Roaring Twenties, and this whole idea of the American dream. And let me tell you, we've got some interesting sources lined up. We're talking straight up literary analysis, study guides, even some thoughts from modern-day Vietnamese students who see reflections of their own American dream in Gatsby's story. It's going to be good.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how a novel written almost a century ago still holds so much power, across cultures even. Fitzgerald really tapped into something timeless with Gatsby. You know, that desire for love, for wealth, for a sense of belonging, that ache for something just out of reach.
It's like Gatsby himself is almost mythical, you know what I mean? Our sources are just bursting with rumors about him. War hero, Oxford man, self-made millionaire.
Absolutely.
But then there are also these whispers of shady business deals and even darker secrets. Why cultivate that kind of mystery? What's he hiding?
Well, that's the core of his character, wouldn't you say? Gatsby's very carefully constructed this persona, this image of the extraordinary. It's almost as if he's trying to rewrite his past by embodying this ultimate ideal of the American dream. But several of our sources point out, and this is key, a deeper reason behind this secrecy. It all ties back to his relentless pursuit of Daisy Buchanan.
Daisy, the golden girl, the one with a voice full of money, as Fitzgerald puts it. You can see why Gatsby's obsessed, but something tells me, reading between the lines here, that Daisy might not be all she's cracked up to be.
Oh, you're picking up on something crucial there. You've got this surface-level allure, right? Daisy as the embodiment of the American dream. But she's deeply flawed, too. One source analyzes her as this Jungian anima figure, more of a projection of Gatsby's idealized image than a real complex woman.
Wow.
That makes you question, is Gatsby truly in love with her, or with what she represents?
Which brings us to that really stark contrast Fitzgerald draws between East Egg and West Egg, old money elegance versus new money extravagance. It's almost painful to see Gatsby trying so hard to fit in with that East Egg crowd, throwing those lavish parties. But can you ever truly buy your way into that world?
That's the tragedy that Fitzgerald highlights. He uses those distinct settings to really showcase the rigid social hierarchy of the 1920s. You see, East Egg represents this ingrained aristocracy, generations of wealth, social connection. You can't just buy that. And Gatsby, he can amass a fortune, but he can't replicate that history no matter how hard he tries.
And Daisy's reaction to West Egg speaks volumes. She's almost repulsed.
Precisely. It shows just how deeply ingrained those social divisions were back then. Gatsby's wealth is new, his origins, they're humble, something he can't escape no matter how grand his mansion is.
Striving for a dream that's already out of reach, maybe even corrupted. That's where I think Fitzgerald's genius for symbolism comes in. I mean, the green light, that desolate valley of ashes, the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckleburg, always watching.
He masterfully uses those images. They're not just decoration, they're reflections of the story's deeper meaning. Take the green light, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to see it as just a symbol of hope, right? But it also embodies the unattainable nature of Gatsby's desire. He's reaching for something that constantly eludes him.
And that valley of ashes, that wasteland between West Egg and the city,
Yeah.
it's like a physical manifestation of the moral decay hidden beneath the surface of the Roaring Twenties. All that glitz and glamour, and then you have this.
Precisely. It's a stark reminder of those who are left behind in this relentless pursuit of wealth and pleasure. And those eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckleburg looming over it all.
Creepy.
Some interpret them as a godlike presence, others as this more secular judgment, silently observing this moral wasteland.
It's almost like Fitzgerald is using a secret language to reinforce these themes. I'm talking about his use of color, the gold, the yellow, the white, the green. It's like he's trying to tell us something.
Absolutely. Each color carries deeper significance. You see gold and yellow juxtaposed. They both represent wealth, but there's a difference. Gold. That's true wealth, the inherited fortune of East Egg. Yellow, that represents Gatsby's new money, flashy, extravagant, almost desperate to impress.
So you're saying true belonging, true wealth can't be bought. It can only be.
Inherited, yeah. It's this idea that you can't just buy your way into certain circles. And then there's white, usually associated with purity, innocence, but with Daisy. It feels different, like a mask almost.
Yeah, it's like she's hiding something.
Exactly. It highlights this theme of superficiality. White becomes a way for Daisy to conform, to hide behind those societal expectations placed upon her as a woman of her social standing. And green, of course, embodies both the hope and the corruption that lie at the heart of the American dream. It's a duality mirrored in Gatsby's own fate.
Green as that yearning for something more, that something just beyond grasp, like the green light at the end of Daisy's dock.
Yes. but it's also the moral decay lurking beneath the surface, like the Valley of Ashes.
It's like he's having this secret conversation with the reader, using color as his language. Man, Fitzgerald was playing 4D chess with this novel, but there's another player in this whole thing, Nick Carraway, our narrator. We experience the story through his eyes, but can we really trust his perspective?
That's a point of contention among our sources, and it's what makes Nick so fascinating. He presents himself as this objective observer, but as you read, it becomes clear that his own biases, his own moral compass, they shape how we see Gatsby. It makes you wonder, is Nick idealizing him, shaping him into something he's not?
So we've got this layered, almost contradictory portrait of Gatsby through the rumors, through Nick's observations, Daisy's reactions. It's fascinating.
It's what makes this whole deep dive so compelling, right?
Yeah.
We're going beyond just a simple reading of The Great Gatsby here. We're peeling back the layers. We're uncovering the nuances, experiencing this story on a whole new level. And those Vietnamese students we mentioned, their perspective adds a whole other dimension.
It's wild how Fitzgerald's critique of the American dream in the 1920s, that materialistic, almost hollow version of it, still resonates with people seeking their own versions of that dream today.
It highlights the novel's enduring relevance. Almost a century later, it still prompts us to examine the allure and the potential pitfalls of this idea we call the American dream. For those students, Gatsby represents both the ambition and the tragic consequences of chasing a dream that can never truly be grasped.
So we've got Gatsby chasing this lost love, grappling with this corrupted version of the American dream, and Fitzgerald is using all this symbolism to point it out. But what about the other players in this tragedy? How do they contribute to this whole conversation?
Well, each character seems to represent a different facet of the American dream and its consequences, really. Take Tom Buchanan, for instance. He embodies that sense of entitlement, the hypocrisy that comes with old money. He inherited his wealth, his social standing, and it's led to this belief that he has a certain ownership over Daisy, over the world she inhabits.
Yeah, he just oozes that superiority.
Right, and he never hesitates to use his wealth and his power to get what he wants, no matter who gets hurt along the way.
And in direct contrast, you have George Wilson, trapped on the other side of the stream, a working class guy trying to build an honest life, but he gets crushed by circumstance and the indifference of the wealthy elite.
It's heartbreaking because George's story reminds us that the pursuit of this idealized American dream, it can be brutal, unforgiving, and ultimately tragic.
It reminds me of something I read about Fitzgerald's own life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently he was, well, he wasn't born into wealth, but he always, I don't know.
Aspired to it.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it. I mean, he always wanted to be a part of that world, but he also saw right through it. Kind of like Nick Carraway, don't you think?
Definitely. There's this constant tension in his work, this push and pull between attraction and repulsion. He's drawn to the beauty, the glamour, but he's also acutely aware of the ugliness that lies beneath the surface.
Which brings us back to Nick. This guy occupies such an interesting space in the novel. He's seemingly both drawn to and repulsed by Gatsby's world.
It's what makes him such a compelling narrator, though. Nick is this outsider looking in. He comes from a well-off family, but he doesn't possess the same level of wealth or social standing as the Buchanans or Gatsby. It's like he's observing their world from a distance with this mix of fascination and judgment.
Like he's trying to figure it all out along with the reader.
Exactly. And his perspective is so critical because he allows us to see through the cracks, to recognize the flaws, the inherent contradictions of this American dream.
He acknowledges the allure, the parties, the extravagance, but he also sees the hollowness.
The underlying sadness.
Yeah, and it creates this sense of disillusionment.
For Nick and for us as readers.
Exactly. And isn't that what Fitzgerald's getting at with this whole story? That disillusionment is central to his message. He's peeling back the layers of the American dream, revealing it to be flawed. Maybe even
destructive.
Exactly.
And you know, it's interesting. One of the sources we looked at argued that the American dream wasn't always seen this way, that it used to represent something pure, more about opportunity and hard work than material wealth.
Huh. So when did it become so?
Tainted. Well, that's a complex question. But it seems like the Roaring 20s, with its rapid economic growth and social upheaval, played a significant role. Suddenly, everyone was chasing after wealth and status, often at the expense of others.
And Gatsby is a perfect example of that, right? He achieves the material success, but it doesn't bring him happiness. In fact, it ultimately destroys him.
Exactly. And this is where understanding the historical context becomes even more crucial. Because Gatsby's story isn't just a personal tragedy. It's a reflection of a society grappling with these massive changes, a society where the pursuit of wealth and happiness often came at a very steep price.
Okay, so we've talked about the characters, the symbolism, the historical context, but I feel like there's still so much more to uncover, especially when it comes to Fitzgerald's writing itself.
Oh, absolutely. His use of language is just...
It's exquisite.
Yes, it's lyrical, evocative. It just draws you right into the story.
And he uses these really specific details, these little moments that on the surface might seem insignificant. But when you really think about them...
They reveal so much about the characters, about the themes, about Fitzgerald's overall message.
It's like he's giving us these little clues, these breadcrumbs to follow.
And it's up to us as readers to piece them all together, to uncover the deeper meaning hidden within the text.
Which is exactly what we're going to do. But first, a quick break.
It's like he's giving us these little clues, these breadcrumbs to follow.
And it's up to us as readers to piece them all together, to uncover the deeper meaning hidden within the text, like figuring out why a character did something or what Fitzgerald meant by using a certain word.
It's like being a literary detective.
Exactly. Speaking of detectives, one of the things that struck me about our sources was how much emphasis they put on that scene where Gatsby and Tom have it out at the Plaza Hotel. It's like this battery of wills, this clash of values that really gets to the heart of their characters.
Oh, absolutely. That scene is pivotal. You can feel the tension building, the animosity between Gatsby and Tom. It's almost palpable.
And poor Daisy, caught in the middle of it all. You can tell she's torn, conflicted about her feelings for both men.
She is, and that conflict is a huge part of what makes her such a compelling and frustrating character. On one hand, she's drawn to Gatsby's charisma, his wealth, the excitement he represents. But on the other hand, she's also afraid of him, of the social upheaval he embodies.
Not to mention the fact that she's still married to Tom, who, despite his flaws, represents the stability and security of the world she knows.
Exactly. Daisy's torn between her desire for love and passion and her need for social acceptance and security. It's a conflict that many women of her time faced, and it's something that still resonates today.
And in the end, she chooses security over love, doesn't she? I mean, she goes back to Tom, even after everything that's happened.
She does. And it's a decision that has sparked endless debate among readers. Some see it as a betrayal of Gatsby, a sign of her shallowness and materialism, while others view it as a more complex and understandable choice, given the societal pressures she faces.
It's definitely a decision that makes you think. So we've got these complex characters, this tangled web of relationships, and Fitzgerald's masterful use of language. But there's one element we haven't touched on yet that's essential to understanding the novel. The ending.
The ending. It's heartbreaking. It's the culmination of all the tragedy, all the wasted potential, all the shattered dreams that have been building throughout the story.
It's interesting, though, because it's also strangely hopeful in a way. At least that's how it felt to me.
Really? How so?
Well, even though Gatsby dies and Nick leaves West Egg disillusioned, there's this sense that something has shifted. Like, their experiences have taught them a valuable lesson about the American dream and its illusions.
That's an interesting take. It's true that Nick seems to have gained a new understanding of himself and the world around him. He recognizes the futility of chasing after empty dreams and the importance of staying true to his own values.
Exactly. And while Gatsby's fate is undeniably tragic, there's also a sense that he dies for something he believes in. He may have been misguided in his pursuit of Daisy, but his unwavering belief in love, in the possibility of second chances, is kind of inspiring in a bittersweet way.
It's almost as if, through Gatsby's death, Fitzgerald is suggesting that the American dream, while flawed and often corrupted, can still hold a certain power. Not as a pursuit of material wealth or social status, but as a striving for something more, something greater than oneself.
Something more. I like that. So where does that leave us? What are we supposed to take away from this story, from this deep dive into The Great Gatsby?
I think the most important takeaway is the realization that the American dream, like life itself, is a complex and often contradictory thing. It can be a source of great hope and inspiration, but it can also lead to disillusionment and despair.
It's a reminder that true happiness, true fulfillment, comes not from chasing after external validation, but from finding meaning and purpose within ourselves and our relationships.
Beautifully said. Fitzgerald reminds us that the pursuit of our dreams should never come at the expense of our integrity or our compassion for others.
It's a lesson that's as relevant today as it was a century ago. It's a reminder that true happiness, true fulfillment, comes not from chasing after external validation, but from finding meaning and purpose within ourselves and our relationships.
Beautifully said. And you know, it's interesting. One of the sources we looked at drew this really fascinating parallel between Gatsby's story and the American dream itself.
Oh, how so?
Well, it argues that Gatsby's journey, his rise and fall, mirrors the trajectory of the American dream in many ways.
That's a thought-provoking comparison. I mean, you have this young man full of ambition, striving for a better life. He comes from nothing, builds himself up, achieves a certain level of success.
But it's all built on this foundation of, well, let's call it illusion, for lack of a better word. He's chasing after this idealized vision of the past, this unattainable dream of love and belonging.
And just like the American dream, as it's often portrayed, Gatsby's pursuit is ultimately driven by material wealth and social status. He believes that if he can just accumulate enough money, throw enough lavish parties, he can somehow buy his way into Daisy's heart, into that exclusive world of East Egg.
And that's the tragedy, isn't it? Because true happiness, true fulfillment, can't be bought or earned through external means. It has to come from within.
It's like that saying, money can't buy happiness.
Exactly. And Fitzgerald illustrates this point so brilliantly through Gatsby's downfall. He achieves the material success, the social standing, but it all rings hollow in the end. He's still haunted by his past, still yearning for something more, something real and lasting.
Something more. There's that phrase again. I think that's what makes this whole story so compelling, so thought-provoking. It forces us to ask ourselves, what is that something more? What are we truly searching for in life?
And are we willing to sacrifice our integrity, our values, our relationships in pursuit of it? These are questions that have resonated with readers for generations, and they continue to feel incredibly relevant today.
They do. So as we wrap up this deep dive into The Great Gatsby, what's the one thing you hope listeners will take away from our conversation?
I hope they'll come away with a deeper appreciation for Fitzgerald's genius. Not just as a storyteller, but as a keen observer of human nature and the complexities of the American experience. The Great Gatsby is a timeless masterpiece that continues to challenge and inspire readers almost a century after it was written.
And it reminds us that the American dream, for all its allure and promise, is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. It's a journey, not a destination. And it's up to each of us to define what it truly means for ourselves.
Beautifully said.
That's all the time we have for today, but the conversation doesn't have to end here. Pick up a copy of The Great Gatsby, gather your friends, and start your own deep dive. You might be surprised by what you discover. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking that something more.